Good morning, Pastor Schaefer here. Today is Thursday. Things are fine here with our family. Of course, pray for Jen and Lou and the kids. Lou has the virus. It doesn't seem like any of them is very bad at the moment. So thank the Lord for that, but please continue praying for them. Okay, today I have a message on witnessing, a message on telling others about the Lord Jesus Christ. I have 6 different points on this. So let's go to the Lord in prayer before I begin. Heavenly Father, we understand that as believers, an important part of our life is to share Christ with others. As we look at these verses today, I pray that you would use them to convict us and help us to be bold, especially now during this crisis when people's hearts may be open to be able to share Christ with others. Lord, bless your word as it goes forth. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, the witness of my lips. Witnessing involves more than living a holy life before God. It does involve that, living for Christ, a gospel in shoes. We must also be willing to tell others about Jesus Christ. The combination of life and lip will either condemn the unsaved before God or lead them to faith in Jesus Christ. Take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16. 2 Corinthians 2:16. Interesting verse here in 2 Corinthians 2:16. Speaking of the effect that we have on other people as believers. It says, to the one we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? Thinking about the weight of the ministry that we have. I mean, people are condemned if they never trust the Lord Jesus as their savior. If we witness to them, we give them the gospel, and they don't act on it. That's what it's talking about, a savior of death unto death. But praise the Lord for those who do trust Christ as their Savior. That's the Savior of life unto life there in this verse. And so it's an extremely important ministry that we have, sharing Christ with others, being ambassadors for Jesus Christ. So point number one, God's plan is to use us when it comes to sharing the gospel. Turn to Romans chapter 10. We'll pick it up in verse 14. Romans chapter 10, verse 14, down through verse 17. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so God has included us in his plan to be a witness to others. Also, 1 Corinthians 3, let's look at that, verses 6 through 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 6 through 8. 1 Corinthians 3, beginning in verse 6. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, you are God's building. So again, this passage is teaching that God is using us. His plan is to use us to reach others for Jesus Christ. And so our job is to be a witness. God does the saving, but our part is to do the witnessing. All right, number two, we need to go. Turn to the Great Commission, Matthew 28. Let's look at that. Matthew chapter 28. We'll pick it up in verses 19 and 20. Matthew 28, verses 19 and 20. First word in the verse, go. Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, make disciples of them, get them saved, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. So we're told to go in this verse. That might mean go to your neighbor. It might mean go to a family member. It might mean go out and hit the streets and hand out brochures and tracts, which we've been doing with our church, not during the crisis, but before that. We probably reached 1,000 houses in the New Britain area. So go. Another verse on this. Mark 5 and verse 19. Mark chapter 5 and verse 19. Okay, this is the maniac of Gadara. Jesus cast the demon out of this man. He was saved. And in verse 19 it says, "Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee." So go. Go home to thy friends. That's what Jesus wanted this man to do after he was healed. So we need to go. Thirdly, we need to be bold. Turn to the book of Acts, chapter 4. And it's not normal for us to be bold. This is something that the Holy Spirit works in us. But notice in Acts chapter 4, verse 29. Acts 4, 29. "And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word." This is the big prayer meeting that happened in the very first church, asking God to give them strength to be bold. And notice in verse 31, "And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness." So the Holy Spirit answered that prayer and filled them and enabled them to go boldly and to speak boldly for the Lord Jesus. Another verse, 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 2. 1 Thessalonians 2:2. Speaking of being bold. "But even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention." So the Apostle Paul, after all the problems he had at Philippi, being beaten and everything and thrown in prison, Philippian jailer being saved, even after all of that, they were bold. And so we need to be bold. That's something that we can do as we trust the Lord and as the Holy Spirit fills us. Number four, we need to know the Word. We need to know God's Word. We can't be ignorant about the Word when we go. Take a look at 1 Peter 3 and verse 15. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts." Sanctify, set him apart. "Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." So we need to always be ready to have an answer. We're not going to have an answer unless we know the Word of God. So we need to know the Word. We need to be in God's Word every day, reading the Word of God, understanding it, studying it, going to church where we can be taught so that we'll know. Another verse, too, is 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15 we can use for this. 2 Timothy 2:15 on knowing the Word. Great verse. Oops, I'm in the wrong place here. Hold on. Here we go. It says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth," or cutting the word of truth straight, "understanding it correctly through study," and rightly dividing it. Knowing the Word of God. So we need to know the Word. That's number four. Now, number five, I don't have any scripture for this, but this is areas of witness that are available to us. There's our immediate family members that we can tell about the Lord Jesus Christ, brothers, sister, father, mother, and then relatives, aunts, uncles, nieces, nephews, people that are related to us, grandparents, and then our friends that we know, our neighbors, friends that we have developed over the years, area of witness to us, and then work, our co-workers, people that we work with, being able to witness to them. And then there's the soul-winning ministry of the church. We do that at our church. We hand out brochures and tracts, talk to people on the street in the New Britain area. As I said before, we've probably hit 1,000 homes, and that's an important part of the ministry. And then number six, missions. We support a number of missionaries at our church. We cannot physically be in foreign countries, but there are missionaries that are there, and we support them financially, and we pray for them that God would use them. So that's an extension of our church, missions. And then finally, another area of witness, believe it or not, is the church itself. I try to give the gospel often from the pulpit. I think that's important. I always fit it in there somewhere. And we have an invitation. I ask people to raise their hand if they want to be saved. And then we invite them to come forward. And sometimes they do that. You know, everybody's built differently. And so we're just trying to get some kind of response. And then maybe we'll talk to them at the door. And, you know, when we have fellowship times, before the services, after the services, those are opportunities to talk to people about the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's another area, too, is the local church itself, the pulpit ministry, and then interacting with people before and after the services. Of course, we have special things quite often. And when we do that, when we have a concert or whatever at our church, maybe something special for Christmas, whatever, we'll invite folks to come. And a lot of times, unsaved people will come. And I make sure that I present the gospel when that happens. Or maybe a funeral would be another opportunity. So things related to the church. Okay, that's number five, areas of witness available to me. And then number six, rewards for witnessing, believe it or not. So turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 19. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 19. Paul here saying, "For what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing?" Speaking to these Thessalonian believers. So what's the crown of rejoicing? He says, "Even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming. For ye are our glory and joy." And so Paul is saying here that when Christ comes back at the time of the rapture, and the people in Thessalonica are there, they get their resurrection bodies and all that, and then there's the judgment seat of Christ. Paul knows that he'll be getting rewards from the Lord Jesus for his efforts in winning these people to the Lord. And so ye are our glory and joy. So the soul winner's crown, you know, for faithful service in telling others about the Lord Jesus Christ. That's an important part of the Christian life, witnessing. Now, right now with this crisis, with the virus, there are opportunities out there. The least we can do is tell people who have the virus that we're praying for them. And maybe God will open the door because people are scared. There's a lot of fear. And maybe we can share the Lord Jesus Christ with them as we have opportunity. So we need to be on the lookout for these opportunities and praying about these things. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for these verses that remind us that it's important to be a witness, especially now during this virus. Lord, I pray that you would use us in our church to reach out to others for the Lord Jesus Christ, that folks would be saved. And Lord, we also think of Lou and Jen and the kids. And Lou has the virus. He's tested positive. And the children and Jen are not feeling well, so we wonder if it has spread to them, but we really don't know. We just ask, Lord, for your healing hand to be on that family at this time. and that none of them would have it very seriously. And we think of our greater church family. We've gotten various requests about different people, like Jonathan, like Gail's cousin's son, and Deborah's father that she's concerned about. So we all have concerns, Lord, for loved ones. We just ask, Lord, that you would protect them from the virus. And, Lord, help us to have opportunities to share Christ during this time. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I'll be talking to you again tomorrow. Have a blessed rest of the day. Goodbye.